This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and today we're wrapping up the 20-part series, which is called The Rapture of the Antichrist and the Tribulation. 20 parts. Comes in all kinds of formats, and it comes with a wonderful study guide. And today is the last day on the program, which we're offering you the book, 464 pages cover to cover, and the book is called The Rapture of the Antichrist and the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And there we have a picture of the angel blowing the trumpet. Here we have a picture of the rapture of the church, people being caught up into the presence of the Lord, and the Antichrist, who's going to appear immediately after the rapture of the church. The foreword is written by my friends Jimmy Evans. And friends, this is really beautifully illustrated. You are going to devour this book. It is easy to read, and it's going to answer every question, I believe, that you could possibly ask about the rapture, the Antichrist, and the tribulation. It really taught me a lot as I was writing it, and I wrote it in a way that I believe that it's going to help you. It's going to eliminate fears, and it's going to give you peace, and it's going to put you on a good foundation about what's going to happen between now and the end of the age and what's going to happen next. So please order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And if you need prayer, remember, we want to pray for you. That is not a trite statement. I really mean it when I tell you that praying for you is one of the greatest priorities of our ministry. And when I call our office and I say, please tell me how many people are praying, and they tell me the phone is ringing, it just thrills my heart. And when I'm in Tulsa and I walk through our prayer ministry and I hear people praying, it's like a roar of prayer as our team that is really trained to pray scripturally are praying for people that are reaching out to us. And if you need for prayer, we want to add that roar for you. We want to pray for you and really believe for God to do what needs to be done in your life. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, I'll hear you, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. And I am fully aware that you can pray by yourself. You have direct access to the Father. But sometimes it helps to have somebody else pray with you. And sometimes you need somebody else to pray who knows how to pray scripturally because you may not know how to. We know how to. So reach out to us and we will pray with you. You can call the number on the screen or send us an email and we're really going to pray for you. And if you're a partner, thank you for being a partner. And if you're not a partner, would you please become a partner with our ministry? You can become a partner by calling the number or by going online. And when you become a partner, you help us take the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. And I want to say thank you for everything that you do. But reach for your Bible. And today we're going to answer the question, why is it taking so long for Jesus to come? Today we're concluding a 20-part series about the rapture, the tribulation, and the Antichrist. 20 programs we've been looking at this, but a natural question is, why is it taking so long for Jesus to come? But I want to begin how I started in the very first program. When I was a boy growing up, every year we would have revival meetings in our church. A revival meeting was usually a week of meetings, and our pastor would invite a guest evangelist, and he would come, and he would preach on hell. He would preach to those that were backslidden, and usually one of those nights, and often the last night, he would preach about the coming of Jesus and the rapture of the church, and he would say, if Christ came today, are you absolutely sure you would go in the rapture? And the way he would ask the question would just scare the living daylights out of me because it made me so fearful that maybe my faith was defective and I would wake up one day and find everybody gone and I was left behind. Well, the truth is, some people are going to be left behind. We saw this in Matthew chapter 24 when Jesus said, one will be taken, another will be left. We saw in John chapter 14, verses 1-3, that Jesus really did say he is coming again to receive us unto himself or to withdraw us unto himself. Jesus said that. Jesus taught about the rapture of the church. We've seen the rapture of the church was taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it is prominently taught. Then he taught about it very clearly again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul taught about it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. And we saw yesterday that Peter taught about the rapture of the church in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and even prophesied that at the very end of the age, mockers would arise that would make fun of us who believe in the rapture of the church. But you know, when I was younger, I avoided the subject of the rapture because I realized there was a lot of disagreement about this subject, and I didn't want to turn somebody off that I thought that I could help with the teaching of the Word of God. So I just didn't touch the subject of the rapture. But as I got older in the Lord, I realized I have a God-given responsibility to bring teaching people can trust, even on the subject of the rapture of the church. And that's why I've written this book, and this is why I'm teaching this series. But it is a logical question to ask. If Jesus is coming for the rapture of the church, then why is it taking Jesus so long to get here? We've only been waiting 2,000 years. Well, let's go back to where we left off in the last episode. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, where in the King James Version, Peter says, knowing this first, and we've seen that that word knowing means know this, always know this, never forget this. We saw that the word first is the Greek word proton. It describes something that is first, foremost, very, very important. It must be known above all else. And Peter says here in the King James Version, knowing this first, that there shall come. Even the word that is very important. It points to something very important, specifically that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And we've seen that the phrase last days in the Greek text actually says the very end of days. And it points to the very, very, very end of the age, the Greek word eschatos. It was the word used navigationally to describe a ship that had sailed to the very last port. And if you've come to this eschatos port, there's not another port after that. You've come to the end of the trip. That's the word which Peter now uses in this verse. And so through him, the Holy Spirit says, you need to know this, always know this, never forget this, specifically that. When time has sailed to the last port and there's no more time left for the journey, you've come to the very, very ultimate end of days, there shall arise scoffers. And we've seen that the Greek actually says scoffing scoffers. It pictures people that are given to scoffing. They're scoffing scoffers. They're given to mockery, and they're particularly making fun of those who believe in the rapture of the church. And the RIV of 2 Peter 3, verse 3, interprets the verse like this, knowing, always knowing, and never forgetting, first, foremost, and above all else. Now, why is this so important? Because we should not be alarmed if this occurs. Peter wants us to know this is going to happen. What's going to happen? Notice again, knowing, always knowing, and never forgetting, first, foremost, and above all else, specifically that. In the last of days, when time has sailed to its last port and not much more time is left for the journey, you'll know it because of mocking scoffers, those who sneer and make fun of those who believe in Christ's coming, people who are really dominated and ruled by their own base instincts and who are following after them. Wow. And we saw in yesterday's episode that in verse 4, Peter tells us what these scoffers are going to say. And in verse 4, the King James Version says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And we saw that the word saying in verse 3 in the King James Version means saying and saying and saying and alleging where. The word where is exactly where is the promise of his coming. In Greek, the word promise has a definite article, which means this is not just any promise, but this is the guaranteed promise that God has made concerning Christ's coming. And the word coming is a form of the Greek word parousia, which describes the royal visit of a king or an emperor who comes, and he alone has the authority to put everything in order. And the word parousia can be used in two ways. It can be used to describe the rapture of the church or the second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Some people say it only describes the coming of Christ at the end of the 7 years, but that's not correct because Paul uses it both ways in the New Testament. In both events, it pictures Jesus coming with authority, Jesus coming with authority that is dominating and subjugating, and when he comes, he's going to come with the authority to begin putting things in order. And my friends, that's really what's going to happen when he comes for the rapture of the church. Because when the church is withdrawn, when the church is extricated and removed from the world, that is when the process will begin for Jesus to put everything in order. The court of heaven is going to issue its verdict of judgment. God is going to begin pouring out bowls of wrath upon the earth. And then finally, it's going to all be consummated when Christ comes at the end of the seven-year tribulation, which Enoch prophesied about, and that is recorded in Jude chapter, there's only one chapter, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says that Jesus is going to come with 10,000s and thousands of his saints. And my friends, that is going to be quite a day. Jesus, in that event, is going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives and set up his millennial kingdom. Wow. All of that is in front of us. And by the way, all of that is covered in this book that you need to get and you need to read so you can understand all of it very straight. But listen to this. It says in the King James Version, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, the word fathers is plural. It could refer to Old Testament patriarchs. It could refer to other people that have walked in faith. But basically the sense is for a long, long time, since the earliest ages, since our time of our great patriarchs, all things continue. The word continue means perpetually and unchanged as they were from the beginning of the creation. So now we find the scoffers are going to say, oh, come on. These people who believe in the rapture, they're just delusional. They've been talking about the rapture for 2,000 years. The rapture has never taken place. These people are delusional. Nothing has ever changed. Everything is perpetually the same. It's basically the same as it's always been. And the RIV translates verse 4 like this. They go on and on, alleging and saying, exactly where is the guaranteed promise of his glorious coming? Those mockers will allege, for from the time that the fathers died, absolutely everything continues perpetually the same, and it's unchanged. Exactly as it's always been and in keeping with how they've been from the very beginning of creation. That's what the mockers are going to allege. But then when we get to verse 8, Peter then says, but beloved, he's speaking to you and me, to those of us that are looking for Jesus' return. He's speaking to us. And he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Well, if 1,000 years is as a day, it means it's just been 2 days since Pentecost. It's been 2,000 years. That would be 2 days on God's timetable. But here he says, be not ignorant. The word not is very emphatic. Be not ignorant. And the word ignorant that is used here is the Greek word lanthano, which means to forget, to deliberately ignore, to purposely disregard, to deny, to disregard, to forget, or purposely overlook facts that were previously believed. Do you know why Peter wrote this? Because even in his time, there were people who previously believed in the rapture. They previously believed in the imminent return of Jesus, but now they're disappointed. Even in Peter's time, they were already saying, come on, you've got to be kidding me. If it was going to happen, it should have already happened by now. It's clear that it's not going to happen. This is nothing more than a delusion or a fantasy. Christ is not coming. And Peter says, friends, don't forget. Don't deny what you once believed. And most people who today mock the rapture are people who at one time were very fervently committed to the belief in the rapture of the church. But someone has now talked them out of it, and they have become ignorant, which means to forget, to deliberately ignore, to purposely disregard, or to purposely overlook facts that were previously believed. They have shucked it, they've put it aside, and now they've become cynical. And the RIV of verse 8 is translated like this. But it is vital that you don't ever forget or allow yourself to lose sight of this one very important thing. Beloved, those whom I deeply love and cherish, it is imperative that you never forget or lose sight of the fact that one 24-hour day before the Lord is just like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is precisely like a single 24-hour day. So 2,000 years may seem very long to us, but in God's mind, it's just 2 days. And then Peter adds in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But notice that the very first of the King James Version in verse 9, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And the word slack is the Greek word broduno, and this is very, very important. This means to be tardy, to be slow, delayed, or late in time, like somebody who's late for an appointment. But specifically, it refers to lateness in reference to an appointed time. And this word broduno was used medically to describe a person that was mentally or physically handicapped and therefore slow to speak or slow in terms of physical movement. And ancient Greek writers used this word slack here, the Greek word broduno, to picture a person who's hesitant to act due either to a lack of direction, commitment, or resources. And by using this word, the Holy Spirit states that God is not delayed, slow, or tardy regarding the promise that Jesus will return, or furthermore, regarding any promise of a coming judgment. Men may think that God is slow, but he is not slow. He is not late. He's going to keep his appointment. He's going to show up exactly on time. In fact, the verse says he's not slack concerning his promise. His promise, again, has a definite article, the specific promise that he is coming again, as some men count slackness. The word count informed the Greek word hygeomai, which means to regard. There really are people that have just kind of shucked it all. And they've said, oh, if he's coming, he's late. Possibly he's not coming at all. They count it to be slackness. Or they say, he is slow, he's tardy, it's never going to happen. But instead, Peter says he's long-suffering. He's long-suffering to usward, and now we find out why it's taking so long for Jesus to come. The word long-suffering in Greek is the word makrothumio. The word makros and the word thumos. The word makros depicts what is long or of long duration, similar to a span of time, while the word thumos means anger, and it depicts a strong and growing passion. But when you compound the two words together, it is the long restraint of anger or long suffering. Or I say the word long suffering could be compared to a candle with a very, very long wick. Doesn't have a short wick, doesn't burn out real fast. It's got a long wick. It has the ability to burn a long, long, long time. And here we find that God is patiently waiting. He is restraining his anger. He is restraining his judgment. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This does not say everybody's going to get saved. It doesn't say that. It just says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, which means the reason it's taking Jesus so long to come is not because he's late. He's going to be right on time. But he's waiting and waiting and waiting like a candle with a very long wick. He's burning and burning and burning and burning, waiting, 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 holding back everything as he awaits that very last person that's going to repent and come to Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. Again, it does not mean everybody's going to get saved, but God sure doesn't want anybody to perish. But he's holding out and he's holding on for that last person that's going to come to repentance. And when that last person comes to faith in Christ, boom, in that moment, Christ is going to descend into the lower atmosphere with his own shout. He's going to be excited about it. With the voice of the archangel, the trumpet blast that we're all going to hear, those of us that are in faith, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and we which are alive and remain, including the last one that just got saved, we're going to all be caught up into the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if anybody says to you, why is it taking so long for Jesus to come? You can say he's holding out for the last person to get saved. And friend, you could be the one to bring that last person to Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. We're out of time, but I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked, when is the rapture going to take place? Well, it's going to take place at the end of the church age. The church age began in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, when God poured his spirit out on the church, and that birthed the church age. And the church age will end at the end of this age when Jesus comes for the rapture of the church. And we read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then, this is verse 17, and the word then means exactly at that synchronized moment, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this will occur at the very end of the church age. And when the rapture occurs, it will trigger the moment when the great tribulation begins.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries. Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow, because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London, because we have an office in England, and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga, where Denise and I and our boys lived for 9 years. and our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 78% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part. Well, my friends, we just wrapped up the series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. It is 20 parts. It comes in all kinds of formats, and it comes with a study guide. You can go online to order this right now, or you can give us a call. Please order this. And today is the last day that we're offering it on the program. And today is also the last day that we're offering you my book, 464 pages, cover to cover, called The Rapture, the Antichrist, the Tribulation. The foreword is by Jimmy Evans, who I believe is really an expert on end times. And the subtitle says, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And everything we've covered in this series is in this book and much, 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 much more. 464 pages of insight, information, revelation, and lots of graphics and art and illustrations. It is so easy to read. And it will really help you wrap your arms and wrap your head around all of these end time things. It's going to answer your questions. So please go online to order yours now or give us a call. And please let us know how to pray for you. And right now, let's pray for our family and our friends and our acquaintances that are unsaved. And if you want somebody to pray with you specifically for them, please call the number on the screen or send us an email, and we'll put our faith out there with you for them to get saved. But my friends, Jesus is holding out for the last person to get saved, and then He's going to come for the church. So Father, right now we pray for our family. We pray for our friends and our acquaintances that are unsaved. The Holy Spirit, we ask that You use each one of us to speak the gospel. And Holy Spirit, give them eyes to see, give them ears to hear, that they could make Jesus the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, this has been full and this has been good. But I'll see you in the next episode. Remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive You as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank You that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve You as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit Renner.org.